Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
My heart still breaks to help you, not to hurt you. Amen? So he's full of pity. And to show mercy, God wants to show his mercy. But the one I really like the most is this, to be full of eager yearning. To be full of eager yearning. That's what kind of, in other words, God eagerly yearns to help us. Amen? God eagerly yearns to be in our lives. He eagerly yearns to work with us and to care for us and to be a part of our daily struggles and to help us through life. You see, when Jesus came to this earth, he didn't come and say, okay, I'm going to go on the cross. I'm going to die for you, be raised up from the dead for your justification. And when you make me your Lord, you'll never have another problem. You'll never have a hard day. You'll never have another sad day. You'll never have another rainy day. No, in fact, the Lord was quite opposite of that. He said this. He said, if you're wise, you'll take my sayings and work them in your life and build them like a man building a house on a rock, because there's a storm going to come. And there's a foolish man who hears these things and doesn't know them or doesn't let me get involved in your daily life, and that storm's going to come to you too. Amen? In other words, the Lord said everybody's going to have storms. But he said, if you'll let me be involved in your life and work in your life and be merciful in your life and be gracious in your life, when that storm comes, I'll get you through it, praise God. Because I'm involved in your life, because you're involved in me. And so therefore, we begin to build our lives. And so Christ warns us and he tells us that he'll be gracious. He'll be good to all of his works. Now, you and I are his works, praise God. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So God's going to be good to me, amen? Now, look over in 1 John, the 4th chapter. Here in 1 John chapter 4, the Apostle John picks up on the Lord's love and mercy, and he begins to speak to us. In fact, you know, John was known as the Apostle of Love. You begin to read the Gospel of John that's written by the same Apostle, and he talks about God's love throughout his entire Gospel. And then in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, he's constantly referring to God's love. Amen? And he's ministering to us about God's love for us. And here in 1st John chapter 4, we began to look down here in verse 9, and he says this, in this the love of God was manifested or presented or made available to us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Ooh, glory to God. Notice this. He says God's love was manifested. God's love was demonstrated. God's love came into full fruition before us when he sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, into the world. Not that we should be condemned or defeated or destroyed by him, but that we should live through him, that we might have life through him. Amen? You see, you've got to understand something, folks. The reason I'm preaching this on this resurrection morning is this. It is not knowing what God can do for you or even what God has done for you that will motivate you to live for him. But it is knowing what God eagerly yearns to do in your life right now and what he cares about right now and how he wants to be involved in your life now and how he wants to get you through the storms right now. That's what motivates people to serve God. And that's what causes us to want to turn to God. Amen? I want a Lord that's with me today. Come on, I don't want a historical Lord. I do not want a Lord that lived 2,000 years ago, but it's not relevant to me today. I want Jesus Christ in my life, amen? I want to celebrate the song that no grave could hold him back, hallelujah. I want to celebrate the word that we've already heard today, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, even as he said, praise God, and that he is Lord in my life. Notice he says here that God manifested, God revealed, God demonstrated his love by sending his Son into the world that we might live through him. Everybody say live. Yes. See, you're not really living until Jesus is in your life. Amen. Jesus came to bring life to us. In John 10:10, Jesus himself said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came so that we could live. And here's another thing you've got to get a hold of. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, powerful verse that goes right along with this one. What did John say over there in the Gospels? He said, for God so loved the world. Remember that? Well, how did God love the world? That he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Oh, isn't that good? Jesus Christ came so that we wouldn't perish in our sins, so that we wouldn't perish in a life that's just totally destroyed by the enemy and by the world. But he doesn't stop there. I believe John 3:17 is just as important to read as John 3:16. Because verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. Jesus didn't come to condemn you because you messed up. Jesus didn't come to condemn you because you're not doing everything right. Jesus didn't come and condemn you because you was all a mess. No, he came to save you from that mess, praise God. He came to deliver God's compassion to you. God eagerly yearns to bring you out of guilt and condemnation and insecurities and unworthiness and bring you over into a life where God is in your life. And Jesus is Lord of that life. And you're experiencing the goodness of God in your life. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like God's favor in my life. Amen. Somebody says, well, what is favor? Well, this is my definition of favor. God influencing the outcome. Amen. What do you mean? How many of you know that if God is the one who influences the outcome, we win? Amen. Because he's got the greatest influence. See, whoever has the greatest influence gets the verdict. And so when God says he is gracious, disposed to show favor, that means God is going to influence the situation for my good. Hallelujah. And so Jesus has come so that we would not live a guilt life, a condemned life, walking around, I'm never worthy. I can't go to church enough to get worthy. I can't read the Bible enough to get worthy. I can't praise enough to get worthy. No, Jesus Christ came to this earth to rid us of our sins and bring us into a place where we could live in an intimate life with God Almighty. He came that we might live. You and I should be living today, amen? We should be celebrating today, walking in the light of the life of Christ Jesus our Lord. Now look what he says. He goes on here in 1 John 4 and he says this, in this is love, verse 10, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the redemptive sacrifice for our sins. Notice that. God didn't do this because we loved him. God didn't send Jesus because we loved him. Are you listening to me? Oh, Lord, Son, you need to go down there and die on the cross because look how much they love us. No, no, no. God turned to Jesus and said, Son, I'm going to ask you to lay aside all your eternal glory and power and take upon the form of a servant. And go down to that planet and redeem them because I love them and I cannot go on letting them be destroyed by their sin. I love them too much to allow them to be dominated by Lucifer with no hope. And Jesus looked at his Father and said, Father, I love them too and I'm willing to go for them. Jesus came to this earth, folks, not because we deserved it or earned it or got good enough or loved God. He came to this earth because he loved us. He comes into your life not because you love him or deserve it, but because he loves you. It's amazing, isn't it? We're out here in a mess. Our life is all crazy. And Jesus loves us right in that mess and comes in to help us straighten it out. When everybody else has given up on us, Jesus still loves us and comes to us and says, let me help you. Let me work with you. Let me show you how I can get you through this. In fact, I want you to, you can look on the screen unless you have an amplified, but in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 11, I want you, Paul brings this truth of God's love out so great. How Jesus came because God loved us. And he says in verse 6 of Romans chapter 5 in the Amplified Bible, while we were yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves. My, my. Boy, that describes me. That described me whenever I was without God. I want to tell you what, I was weak, I was powerless to help myself. And, you know, I could relate to Paul. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, he says, you know, there was a real desire in me to do good. I'm paraphrasing it for you. You can read the entire chapter. Paul says, there was a real desire in me to do good. But every time I desire to do good, I end up doing bad. And there was things that would present themselves to me that I hated, and I said, I'll never do that. And I found myself doing those bad things. Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this death and from this stuff that's going on? In other words, Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Anybody besides me ever find yourself in that situation? That was me before Christ. I was a good person. I'll do good by you, but I'd lie to you. I'd do something here. I'd end up doing something wrong. I'd come over here and do something, mess up. I mean, just like any sinner does. I was powerless to help myself. Couldn't change it. Didn't like it. Paul in Romans 7 says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he goes on and says, I thank God through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Only Jesus could set me free. Only Jesus could come and change my life. Now look what he says. At the fitting time, Christ died for in behalf of the ungodly. Notice Jesus didn't die for the godly. He died for the ungodly. He died for those who were without Christ, without God. And then he says this. Now it is an extraordinary thing for one to give his life, even for an upright man, though perhaps for a noble and a lovable and generous benefactor, someone might even dare to die. In other words, if somebody's really done you well, taken care of you, been a blessing to you, he says, you might think about dying. It doesn't mean you will, but you know, you would have sympathy. You might consider it. Verse 8, but God shows and clearly proves his own love for us. How did God show that love? By the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. See, John said we love God not because we loved Him first, but because He first loved us. He loved us and had pity and mercy and kindness and eagerly yearned to pour out His tender love to you and me. And so Jesus Christ came in the midst of our self-destruction, in the midst of our helplessness, to come to God. God showed His love. Therefore, since we now are justified, acquitted, and made righteous, and brought into right relationship with God by Christ's blood, how much more certain is it that we shall be saved by Him from the indignation and the wrath of God? Now, notice this. He says, not only did Christ come to you when you were lost and in your sin, but now you've been made justified. Now you've been made righteous. And now, praise God, God not only takes you back to the day that you made Jesus Lord, and He came into your life and saved you when you couldn't save yourself.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.